Everyone have a Ramban?
Great.
We're on a somewhat more narrow schedule. So I had originally been hoping to take a look at two pieces in the Ramban. You have it in front of you. So over the course of the afternoon, I certainly recommend the first piece I was going to see, I think we're not going to see it as a group, is here in page Shin Samach Ches, which is Perik Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, working off of that pasuk we were just talking about in the quiz. He presents different approaches to that. But what I want to turn our attention to right now, in the time we have together, is the last Ramban in the parsha. Here, page Shin Ayin Gimel, the very, very end. Pasuk Tes Zayin. We're just talking before about the Milchama with Amalek. And you mentioned, Ari, at the Mishnayos in the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, comment on Moshe Rabbeinu's role in the Milchama, the significance of his hands being up, not only as a tefillah per se, but it was Klali's, when the Pesukim say that Klali Yisrael saw the hands, that hand, the Mishnah points out, it wasn't the hands per se, as much as the fact that the hands inspired Klali Yisrael to be Meshabe Libam Levim Shva Shemayim, to increase, as Ramban says earlier in the parsha, to reinforce their bitachon. Ramban earlier on that pasuk also says as an explanation on Derech Sod, so when we're all 40 years old, we can try to study that, how we should be Zocha, we're all 40 years old, to be in the Madrega and say it together. But I want to turn now to a different pasuk. Ramban also deals with both Benigla and Benister. Again, we're not going to focus on Benister. But a mysterious pasuk at the end of this, of Bishalach, at the end of the parsha of Amalek. Ki yad al keis ka, mechamal Hashem ba'amalek, midor dar. This closing pasuk, a hand on keis ka. A hand on the, what's the case? The case of Hashem. So Rashi, the Ramban begins by quoting Rashi. Yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here we are, Pasuk Tezayin, Pechin Ayin Gimel. Ramban writes, Yado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hand that's on the case is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. And speaking metaphorically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, but to describe some Ribbono Shel Olam in human terms, we say his hand is on Hurma. What do you do with your hand? What do people do with their hands? Lots of things. But one of the many things that people do with their hands is to swear. Yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hurma. He raises his hand. Raise your right hand, repeat after me. He raises his hand, Lishava Bekiso, to swear by his throne. And that's, again, that's a human reality you find earlier in Chumash. We had in Chumash Bereishis more than once. To hold the idea of Nikitas Chafetz, which the Gemara's talk about halachically, the serious Shavua in Bezin, the most serious Shavua in Bezin requires Nikitas Chafetz. You're going to swear a modem of Mixas, a Ginekin, Sein Echad, a Shomer, you're going to hold the Sefer Torah, something like that, while you say, Tamil Chachmei, I'll just hold a pair of tefillin. But hold on to some of the Davar Shal Kedusha in the days of Rav Avinu. The Chafetz Shal Mitzvah was the Mila, right? That's what he says to Eliezer. The idea of physically connecting to some item of Kedusha, an item of Mitzvah, to raise the level of solemnity of the Shvuah. So that's, according to Rashi, Ramban is quoting, that's the image, that's the human metaphor that the Torah is employing, talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he's swearing by what item? By his own throne. Liyos lo milchama ve'eva ba'amalek. There's going to be ongoing fight against Amalek. Olamis is a permanent situation. We're not going to give up this fight. So Mao case. So what's a case? Hello, Nemar Kisei. Yaf Hashem Nechleku Lechetzia. Kadosh Baruch Hu's name only appears halfway. It's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, just Yud Kei. And Kisei is missing the Aleph. So Rashi quotes, Nishba Kadosh Baruch Hu Shein HaKisei Sholem Vein Hashem Malei Atchiyim Achshmo Shal Amalek Ben Esav. That the Rosh Hashanah is swearing that the Kisei will not be complete, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will not be complete until we eradicate Amalek. Mishanim Chashamal, once Amalek is eliminated, Yehi Shem Hashem Malei. That Kisei Shalom, that's what will yield fullness. Presumably what this means, and remember he goes on to quote, two, three lines down, and he says, quote, shows some sukkim that this is the case, and then Ramban ends Lashon Rashi, the line after the footnote number 8, so the sixth Sixth line, the Rabban, Roshan Rashi, Mishnah Chachamim. So that's Rashi. Up until here is a quote from Rashi, and says Rashi's source is in Chazal. But no, the Bible tells us for number 11, this is a Medrash Tanchuma. Okay. And the idea, presumably, of this, the Kisei, there's many Sifrim Hashava talk about this Rashi, the idea of the Eina Kisei Shalom Ein Hashem, Shalom means God's throne is not complete. Amalek is holding back Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that what does it mean Kadosh Baruch Hu? His throne is not complete, Baruch Shalom's name is not complete, so presumably, what that means is the expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus in this world, without getting too deeply into the Kabbalah, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a question of our perception, to what extent is he perceivable in this world? So Kadosh Baruch Hu's malchus is represented by the throne as a metaphor for God's malchus, not his reality intrinsically, but the extent to which he's ruling sovereignly. Is how, to what extent is he melaching, so to speak, in this world? To what extent is he expressing his kingship and his control over this universe? So it calls mind that there's evil in the world, calls mind that there are people who refuse to accept Ribbono Shel Olam, symbolized by Amalek. The Kadosh Baruch Hu's kisei and shame, his name, in other words, the extent to which he's the nikar in this world, the extent to which his malchus is nikar in this world, are limited. Okay. And then the Rabban goes on to say, v'yesh mefarshim, a fascinating footnote. For number 12, he points out the Ibn Ezra quotes the following shot. Rabban says, there are those who say, Ibn Ezra quotes the following shot, the name of a Karaite scholar. His name was Rabbi Yeshua. V'yesh mefarshim, you take a look in the Ibn Ezra. He kasher tiyeh yad al kisei. Kasher tiyeh yad al kisei Hashem. Tiyeh mechama l'Hashem b'amalek. Very fascinating. We're not going to see the third pshat, because the third pshat is derech sod. But the section that Ramban gives is, what's with the kisei? He says the kisei sounds like a king. But the Yesh mefarshim is not that it's the kingship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's the kingship of a king. Yad al kes ka mechalamal Hashem b'amalek. Not saying that the mechaber Kadosh Baruch Hu is swearing that he will have eternal struggle with Amalek. We're never going to give in to evil. We're never going to accept this. This will always be a problem until it's resolved. The problem of evil in this world is the Megillah says Yesh mefarshim talking about it from a human perspective. Kasher tia yad Hashem yad al kisei Hashem. That's when the Muhammad will begin. Not God is swearing that there will be a Muhammad forever, but rather at the point in time when they're describing a historical moment, when there'll be a Yad on Hashem's throne, that's when the Muhammad will commence. What does that mean? When's going to be a Yad on Hashem's throne? So he points out, and the Dar Dar means it's going to continue from that point on. It's only going to start in the future. What does that mean? When there'll be a Jewish king, that's when the Melchama will begin. Remez l'shal ha-melech. Ha-melech ha-rishon. I mean, dar-dar, from Shal and on, and this is really a sifrei. Rambam quotes a sifrei. Gil mitzvah Yisrael b'nistav Yisrael b'knesas in la'aretz. Rambam quotes this in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sifrei says there are three mitzvahs that have to go in a sequential order. Number one, after they enter Eretz Yisrael. Number one, l'hamad l'melech. Number two, to find with Amalek. And number three, to build Beis HaMikdash. Look at this Beis HaBechira. And that's what Ramban understands is rooted in this pasuk. It's only once you have a king, case ka, the divine throne means the Jewish throne. Because a Jewish king represents the divine. And that's where he goes on to quote from a Gemara. That's fascinating. Initially, he just quotes this Rabbi Yeshua. At some later point, he added that this is already Medrash HaGemara. I heard Dr. Yossi Ofer, who is a Tanakh scholar, spoke about this yesterday in Shul. That this was the brackets here, something that Ramban added after he came. He revised his Perish after he came to Eretz Yisrael. And this is one of the revisions that he made. He points out that this pshat, that he's quoting from the Ibn Ezra, from this Rabbi Yeshua, is already rooted in a Gemara that seems to have this understanding against the Tanhuma, that Kes Ka means a Jewish king, human Jewish king, sits on the divine throne. He is, as the Gemara says, elsewhere, representative of Malchus Shamayim, and